Blog we Talk are Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Mother Valerie and I had to play that song, you know, when it says, surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. We are here to announce this morning that Mother Rita has transitioned and surrendered her life to the Lord. She is with the Lord, and we are not going to cry. We're going to rejoice. But we
Amen.
Know that she loved God, and she loved us. And so all I want to say is, Mother Rita, we know we love you, and, you know, you are the most. We thank you for interceding. We thank you for your lovely prayers. We thank you for just being a mighty and awesome woman of God. You know, surrendered her life to Christ. And she's where we want to be, moved forward into
Amen.
The kingdom. Because the word of God tells us, absent from this earthly body is in the presence of the Lord. So all I can say is thank God. Praise the Lord for such a mighty woman of God being a part of my spiritual family and a part of Mother Valerie's physical family. So we are thankful, we are grateful, and again, we are blessed. Today we are starting a new book of the Bible.
Woo-hoo! Amen. We're
starting in Leviticus. Mother Valerie is going to take us there. And, you know, Leviticus is one of those books that many try to use to change the course of what the Word of God says. They will take a word from Leviticus and beat people with it. They don't take the whole thing. You can't pick and choose. Well, I'm going to follow the Old Testament law for this, but I'm not going to follow it for that. You're either going to follow it or you're not going to follow it. You're either going to believe it or you're not going to believe it. But you can't be lukewarm because you already know what the Word of God told us that the Lord will do with the lukewarm. So stand to it, stand with it, and don't play because God does not play when it comes to his word. You know, and when we go into our word this morning, our little book of Know Your Bible, it talks about Leviticus, and it says it's not stated, but we believe that it was written by Moses, that it was written probably almost 1400 to 1500 years before Jesus. In 10 words or less, the Holy God explains how to worship him. So when we go into this word, we're going to know how to worship God in spirit and in truth. And it tells us that Leviticus, details, please, Leviticus meaning about the Levites describes how the family line should lead the Israelites in worship. The book provides ceremonial laws as opposed to the moral laws of Exodus. Did y'all catch that? Ceremonial laws opposed to moral laws of Exodus, describing offerings to God, dietary restrictions, purification rites, special holy days, including the Sabbath, Passover, and Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, are commanded. The family of Aaron, Moses' brother, is ordained as Israel's formal priesthood. Leviticus lists several blessings for obedience and many more punishments for disobedience. And when we read this book, we're going to find out how to identify the children of Israel. Because stiff-necked is what the Lord called them. The stiff-necked people did not follow the rules that God set before them and had to deal with the curses and the punishment. It's no joke. What God says he will do, he will do, and we got to take that and live with it because it's nothing to play with. This word is nothing to play with. But we know that when the veil tore, that Jesus changed the sacrificial thing. He already gave his life. He is the last animal sacrifice. If anybody's sacrificing animals, that's not a God anymore because Jesus changed that. He was the last sacrificial lamb. And as we go into the word, it says, quotable, ye shall be holy, for I, God, am holy. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Again, blood. It is the blood. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest heaven. It flows to the lowest valley. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood of Jesus that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. We got to understand the power that comes from the blood of Christ, that we no longer have to sacrifice a lamb, a ram, or a goat. And it says in Leviticus, the unique and unusual about it in verse chapter 7, verse 27 says, Leviticus's blood sacrifices are contrasted with Jesus' death on the cross by the writer of Hebrews, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice. But this he did once when he offered up himself. Woo! Hebrews 7 and 27. We got to understand Jesus is already taking care of the sacrifice. He gave the last and only one, which was himself, for our sins for self. And the so what of Leviticus, though we don't live under the rules of Leviticus, we still serve a holy God and should treat him as such. We can't play with Father God. We can't act like, oh, Leviticus, that's that old stuff. You know, no. The word of God is true. We got to understand that God wants us to live holy lives. And when you read Leviticus, Mother, it makes sense why everything had to be done the way it was done. Because if you're thinking about, think about this, you're moving almost a million people on foot through the desert. You've got to have some rules. If you don't, you'll have a chaotic mess. Just think about it. If the whole city of Springfield, which is only like 100,000 people, everybody moved at one time, what kind of mess would you have? So just imagine all those people. Some of them are Hebrew and Israelite. Some of them were not. Some of them just tagged along to get out of slavery. But the bottom line is they got grafted in. And we have to understand that when they got grafted in, they got to follow the same rules as everybody else. You know, what not to do, you know, where to go to the restroom even, wash your clothes. Everything was put down on what to do, including sexual sin. It's in the book. You know, we have to understand God wrote it all down so we wouldn't be out there acting like we didn't have any sense. God don't play. And we got to remember that. We follow the rules that God has made for us. Because when you do, you have less chaos in your life. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Good morning, people of God. God is a good God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you. You did it again. You woke us up to another beautiful day. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for your sacrifice for salvation. Thank you for blessing Pastor Jesse, Pastor Bridget, and all your people, all your pastor, Pastor Washington. And God, we will praise you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank you for blessing my family as Rita Davis went home to be with you on Love Day. Thank you, God, for your love, for you are a good God all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming out of Leviticus 1 and 2 and 16. Now the Lord called to Moses, spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel, say to them, when any one of you bring an offering to the Lord, you should bring your offering of the livestock of the herd and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord and the priests. Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar, that is, by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You know, Jesus offered his blood. We don't have to do that anymore. Jesus' blood was the sacrifice once and for all. We don't have to sprinkle blood on the altar. We don't have to do any of that. And he shall skin the burnt offering, cut it into pieces. Sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts of the head and the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash his entrails and his legs with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering is of the flocks of the sheep or of the goats as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood all around on the altar. He shall cut it into pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. God got a precise way of doing the sacrifice. God has a precise way of doing everything. But he shall wash the entrails and the legs with water. Then the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord is a bird, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeon. Priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off his head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out at the side of the altar, and he shall remove its crocks with his feathers, cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place for the ashes. Then he shall split it at his wings, but shall not divide it completely. The priest shall burn it on the altar on the wood that is on the fire. It's a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. When anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be as fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense. Priests shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offering to the Lord made by fire. And if you bring an offering a grain offering, bake in the oven. It shall be 11 cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or 11 wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it should be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in peace and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. You should bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord. And when it is presented to the priest, he should bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion, burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his son. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in an offering to the Lord made by fire. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all of your offering you shall offer salt. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first few green heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten from full heads. And you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. Then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of it, beaten grain, and part of this oil, with all the frankincense, as an offering made by fire to the Lord. God is particular in every single thing he do. Life lesson, Leviticus 1 and 3. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Willing offerings to the Lord demonstrate where our desires of our heart truly lie. Leviticus 1:17. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Eager obedience is a sweet aroma to the Lord. Christ lived to obey his Father. And when we follow his example, we too become a sweet aroma to the Lord, the aroma of Christ himself. See 2 Corinthians 2 and 15. God has a precise way of doing every single thing. Life's blessings, Leviticus 2 and 11. No grain offerings which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. The Bible also uses leaven or yeast as a picture of sin. It was not to be offered on the altar, just as sin is not to be allowed to dominate the life of the believer. Leviticus 2 and 13, you should not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. Salt here used to symbolize God's covenant with his people. Just as salt is necessary to sustain life, so is God's continued relationship with us necessary to sustain and enjoy life everlasting. God is just good. He's good. He's good, and he wants everything done precise. And when we follow God and do exactly what God tells us to do, we are a blessed people. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen. Mother Valerie, actually, if you don't mind reading our psalm this morning.
Amen.
God put it on my heart for you to read it. So would you please read the psalm for us today?
I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offsprings of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperity of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. God, I will declare your name to my brethren. I will do that. I will declare your name to my brethren. Mike's lesson, Psalms 22:24. He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. God always hears. Jesus clearly had this psalm on his mind as he hung from the cross. So he must also have taken great comfort from this part of the psalm. He knew that God heard his cries and would cause him to triumph and cause him to triumph. God hears us. God hears everything. And when we cry out to God like Jesus did, my God, why have thou forsaken me? God hears everything. God is not far from any of us. All we have to do is talk to him. Open up your heart to God. Let him know when you're suffering. Let him know when you feel sorrowful. God understands. God understands.
Yes, it does.
Even when you don't understand, God understands you because he made you. The very hair, you know, that's something. The little hair, every hair on your head is numbered. God knows you, and he loves you. Mightier than the waves of the ocean is his love for you. God loves us. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is love. God is perfect. God is understanding. God is Father. God is love. Turning it back over to Pastor.
Amen. Amen. God just touched my heart. And when I was about to read, God said, Mother Valerie, so that's why I turned it right back over to you. You know, he has not despised or abhorred. He has affliction of the afflicted, nor is he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. You know, God hears us. He knows our pain. He knows how we feel. He knows everything. And all we can say is, thank you, God, for loving us more than we love ourselves. You know, God loves us so unconditionally. And all we can do is just say thank you. Thank you. God knows us. He knows our pain. He knows what we're going through. And he knows when it's time for him to take us home. And all we can do is say, Lord, your will, not mine. And when we give it to God, everything. To our proverb this morning. Again, a proverb of David. And it says, now therefore listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Bam. As we're going through Leviticus, the Lord is giving it to David. Blessed are those who keep my ways. You know, when kids, my way.
For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. And do not dismay it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gate. Go ahead, Pastor. We can't hear you. Waiting at the post of my door.
Hallelujah.
For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me will love death. You know, if you hate God, you hate him, you're foolish. And all those
and
who hate
love
me, they love death.
That's right.
They want to die.
Hallelujah. Mother, thank you so much. I pray for a girl. I need to get some new headsets. And it says this in the word, you know, I love this word, Mother said, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. You know, God has given us an edit that we are blessed when we listen to him. You know, you have folks, well, I don't hear the voice of God. That's because you talk too much. We got to be quiet. You don't hear God when you're talking all the time. God wants to speak to you in the middle of the night. God wants to, when you least expect it, all you have to do is be quiet.
Amen.
Just be quiet. And it, because he says, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Thanking God. You know, and also a man who finds a wife finds favor in the Lord. You know, because we know we are good things. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say this, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. We can't hate God. Yeah, folks, I just hate God. I'm not. I love God because God's been too good to me.
Amen.
You know, he's been good to me in my bad. He's been good to me in my ugly. And God knows we all can have our moments of ugly. But he is always there, watching over us, taking care of us, guiding us and leading us and getting us through. Getting us through whatever you're going through, understand God will get you through. All you have to do is listen. All you have to do is be quiet and wait on the Lord. And the word that God gave me this morning is coming out of this New Testament word. And it says, truly, this was the Son of God. It should not take the death of Christ. It shouldn't have taken the death of the Savior for folks to know who he was. The clouds opened and the Lord spoke and told you who he was. John the Baptist told you who he was. We are being told every day who he is. It should not take him coming back on the clouds for us to say, oh, wow, he really was the Son of God. Because by that time, it's going to be too late. Just like for some, they did not want to believe who he was until he stepped, until God had to show him something in nature. The clouds, it got black as pitch. The veil was torn. But even Jesus went through for us. As we go to this word today, I get filled up when I read it because I know that he gave his life for me, for my sinful self, my disobedient self. He gave his life for me. And it says in the word of God, Matthew 27:27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took a robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now, as they came out, they found a man of Syrian, Simon the name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall of drink, which is vinegar.
My God.
But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them and my clothing. They cast lots. They divided his clothing and cast lots. And they had beat him so badly. You think this through. They had beat him so badly that he could not even carry his cross. He couldn't carry it because he was so beaten. Think about it. Beat to the point where he couldn't even probably hardly walk. And the most nastiest thing for somebody to do is to spit on you.
My God.
Sat upon him. That is just gross. But you think about it. They spat on him. They beat him, mocked him, and he went through it when all he had to do was snap his fingers and they all would have disintegrated.
My Lord.
All he had to do was snap his fingers and an angel of the Lord would have stabbed them all through. But he didn't. He took it for us. And it says, sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, this Jesus, the King of the Jews. And quiet as it was kept, they put it up there in several languages. They put it in Aramaic, they put it in Greek, and then they put it in Hebrew so everybody would know what it says. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, mocking him. And then you have those licenses. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, he saved others himself. He cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. We will believe him when he was healing lepers. You didn't believe him giving sight to the blind. You didn't believe him when he was raised to the dead. You didn't believe him when he was taking people from their beds of epilepsy, demon possession. You didn't believe him. You didn't believe him when he fed 5,000. You didn't believe him when he fed 4,000. You didn't believe him. You didn't believe him. But now you say, come down from the cross. We will believe you. No, you're lying. And then he said, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And now you're going to blaspheme the Father. When there were those that witnessed, that are with you, who heard the voice of God say, this is my beloved Son who I'm well pleased. But yet you don't want to believe, right? And it says even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge filled with the sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. The skeptics, even with the darkness, the skeptics, even with the darkness, still didn't want to believe.
Amen.
And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, in our generation, Mother Valerie, because of all these crazy movies out there, you would have folks freaking out because the zombies have come. It's a zombie apocalypse. Oh, my God, the zombies are up and the zombies are running. It is a zombie apocalypse. You know, but in that day, you can imagine what they were seeing when they saw folks coming out of their death clothes, walking the streets.
My Lord.
That, if nothing else, should have got a whole bunch of folks saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And
Amen.
Then he goes to say, so when the centurion, and this is where our title is coming from today, and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. But by now, it's too late to say who he was when you already knew. You already knew. You cannot tell me with everything that he did that you could say that this is not the Son of God. Let's kill him. It was political. They killed him because of politics. They didn't want to lose their place. They didn't want to lose their money. They didn't want to lose their position. And we see pastors right now doing the same thing, falling out of the Antichrist spirit because they don't want to lose their position. They don't want to lose the money that's coming from this, that, or the other. They don't want to lose their congregation because their congregation, they have preached such negativity that their congregation is so full of hate that they don't know what to do. We cannot preach hate from the pulpit. Because if you're preaching hate from the pulpit, a word yesterday from John, 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You can't be preaching hate and say you love God.
Amen.
And divisiveness and say you love God, and prejudice and say you love God. We can't do it. You're a hypocrite, and you're not preaching no godly word. And as we go into Matthew 27:44, it says, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. At the beginning of the crucifixion, both robbers jeered Jesus. But when one criminal saw how Jesus reacted to the angry mob with grace and forgiveness, he was struck to the heart and came to faith. Luke 23:40-43. Dr. Luke broke it all down. Luke was so meticulous in his word that everything that happened, Luke wrote it. And I tell you this, conviction on the cross. That's what the robber had. And Jesus told him, you'll be with me in paradise.
Amen.
And then when we go into our life question, something to think about this morning. And it says in Matthew 27:46, and it's Jesus crying out to the Father. And and it said about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is my God, why have you forsaken me? And there are folks, I know I've been there. I felt that way. Lord, why you forsake me? Why you let me go through this? And we know that is to make us stronger, because iron sharpens iron. And it says, we have all at least thought it, my God, why have you forsaken me? We've all come to the point where we feel like God has left us in despair in our bad situations, whether it's because of medical problems, relational difficulties, or financial setbacks. We know what it's like to feel abandoned. Yet for some reason, it's disturbing that Jesus said it on the cross in Matthew 27:46, tells us about the 9th hour. I read it again. Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is my God, why have you forsaken me? The word forsaken means to abandon or leave helpless. yet generally we are accustomed to hearing it in terms of God's promise to never desert us. As Deuteronomy 31:6 says, the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, because we know that God honors his promises, we are convinced that God is never going to forsake us. And even when it feels like God is nowhere to be found, we claim the promise and have confidence that he is still with us. However, when we read that Jesus said it on the cross, it's somewhat disconcerting. Of course, we understand that Jesus had to be crucified in order to forgive us of our sins. And we know that it was excruciating for him. Still, it was an outburst that seemed strange coming from Jesus. Think about it. Jesus had been on the cross almost 6 hours. Why did he say it just as he was about to die, when he was almost through with the mission? After all, Jesus knew that the Father would keep promise to resurrect him from the grave, Psalm 16:10. So knowing the promise and knowing the suffering would be over very soon, why did Jesus say that God had forsaken him? We know it couldn't be from a lack of faith. Sometimes in the immensity of all that's happened at the cross, we lose the small detail of God's astounding plan. However, it's important to note the exact moment when Jesus cried out. The Mishnah, which is the oral law of the Jewish people, reports the slaughter of the Passover lamb was performed during the ninth hour. The ninth hour, we learn that at the exact moment when the lambs were being sacrificed in the temple, Jesus was crying out after being forsaken. If you're ever wondered when exactly Jesus became our sin offering, understand that it was in that one awful, horrifying, redeeming moment that he cried out, because it was in that moment that he became sin for us. As Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul confirmed indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for. Why in the ninth hour it got the earthquake? Because they in the temple were sacrificing lambs. I didn't even think about that, that they were in the midst of sacrifice when he died. Some had stayed to watch, but the ones that were in charge of the temple were doing their job. They were sacrificing the lamb, and then think about this. You're in the midst of getting ready to sacrifice that lamb, and all of a sudden the earth begins to quake. All of a sudden it's pitch black, and the room is moving, and then all of a sudden the veil gets torn from the top down, and you know it's by the hand of God. And all you could do is stand with that live lamb in your hand, because you were probably too terrified to sacrifice it, because the Passover lamb was being sacrificed on the cross. Whew. Think about how powerful that is. And it says, and the visual of it is that I bet they were terrified. And then the dead are walking around the streets. All of a sudden you see somebody's dead that you know is dead, and they walking around the street, but you know that they love God. And you imagine that. And it says that in that moment, Jesus knew what it meant to be separated from God. For the first time since before the beginning of time, Jesus didn't feel God's presence. That doesn't mean that the Godhead had reached. Jesus was still fully God. Rather, it means that the Son understood the poverty of being separated from the Father, the hopelessness of it, the loneliness of it. It was the most heart-wrenching, awful moment of his life, worse than any scourging, beating, or crucifixion. Perhaps it was the way that Jesus best experienced what it's like to be us, what it feels like to be a sinner without actually being one. In that moment, Jesus felt every fear that you and I feel. He felt the consequences of sin. He felt what it means to be forsaken, what it means to be without God's perfect love. Perhaps that's what it is at the core of every time we feel forsaken, abandoned, enraged, offended, and hurt. It all comes from fear. We're afraid of being left with nothing. We're scared of being unloved and rejected. We're terrified of dying alone. However, at the core of it all is the fear that comes from not feeling God's perfect love. Yet 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Friend, perfect love doesn't abandon you. When you experience God's perfect love and are obedient to his will, it doesn't matter what happens. You are fully convinced of God's provision and protection. Therefore, whenever you feel forsaken, remember that the resurrected Christ knows exactly how you feel. He knows the depth of your pain, and he did not leave you helpless to face your fears. He did not abandon you to a life without the perfect love of God. So the next time you read the profound words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Thank Jesus for identifying with you in such a deep way, and realize that you can always count on him, because there's no situation you will face that he will not face with you. What a word this morning, Mother Valerie. What a word.
Amen.
What a powerful word. And as I go over to our one heart, I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 11:19 NASB. God of redemption, thank you for your love that pursues my heart at every point in life. You do not require my perfect obedience or submission in order to do what you set out to do. You have taken my cold, cold heart and given me a heart that beats with the warmth of your love. You took what was hard and indifferent and replaced it with a moldable, movable organ. Thank you for your fluid grace that does not do anything the same way, but is always recognizable in its character. I welcome you to move again in me, to open my eyes to this one heart you have given all your people. Thank you for your spirit that has brought life to me in every possible way. May I walk humbly with you, with a heart of flesh that is connected to the ultimate source of life blood found in you. I remember that I am part of a family with the same heart. May it be undivided. And this is a question for this morning. Can you see a difference in your heart as you walk with the Lord? Truly was the Son of God. We thank God for his Son, for we know truly Jesus was his Son, and that he paid it all on that wicked, rugged cross for me and for you. If you don't know Jesus, today is a good day to get to know him as your Lord and Savior. Mother Valerie, I have a word for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning.
Amen.
And our word for today is this. Good morning. The glory is not in never failing, but it is in rising of every time you fall. Have a triumphant Thursday. As Donnie McClurkin wrote, we fall down, but we get up. Yeah. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down. and got up. Praise God that he is, we got up because Jesus got up with all power in his hand. He got up so that we can get up. Tell God thank you. Tell God how much you love him. Tell God how much you appreciate him. Just tell God you are who you are, my Lord and Savior. Truly, this was the Son of God. And guess what? He loves you. Just like he loves me. Just like he loves Mother Valerie. He loves us unconditionally. Praise God this morning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise him this morning. If there's anybody that has a word that God has placed on your heart this morning, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Evangelist Shannon.
Good morning, Minister Mother Valerie. God had put
good morning.
A scripture. Good morning. God put a scripture in my spirit. If you could read it, it's Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1.
Mother, you got it. I got it.
That.
I can. I sure can. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and readers of his holy and divine word.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That was
what a word.
What was that?
It is Isaiah 61:1.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Say, arise, my sons and daughters, for I called you all as ministers to go out and witness to, hallelujah, those that are lost, those that know me and know me not, those that have backslidden, those that have fallen, those that have wavered to the left to the right. Hallelujah, Cote, woe to those shepherds who scatter my sheep. Holy see, Baleo, Kosha Mahaye. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Kosi Briakita.
Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you.
It is our assignment as pastors and ministers and teachers and preachers and evangelists. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive. That's, we have an assignment, Mother. That is our assignment from the Lord, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And understand, prisons are not always physical prisons. Prisons can also be mental prisons and health prisons and financial prisons. There's so many types of prisons that we put ourselves in. But God has anointed us to do his good will, for he is a sovereign God. He is a mighty God. He is a loving God. You know, and I love how in the NIV it says the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Whatever your thing is, oh, God is good. Thank you so very much, Evangelist Shannon. I know that is a word from the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank God.
Amen. Amen. If there's anyone else that God has put a word in your heart, to share with the audience this morning, now is the time to push the one on your phone. Our call 213-943-3597 if you are on social media. Now is the time. And if there is no one else, we are done. The word is finished. You can't add to it, and we're not going to take away from it. We're just going to tell God, thank you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness and grace and mercy. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High. Stop telling God thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Never stop telling God how much you appreciate him and that how much you love him back, because he did not have to give his son. He did not have to make his son wonder if he had been forsaken on the cross. In the ninth hour, Jesus felt what we felt. You know, every time I think about this, I always think about that little alabaster box. And I think about what CeCe sings, you don't know. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. Nobody knows the cost of your oil. Nobody knows what you've been through but God. No one knows the cost of the oil in your alabaster box. And I love you weren't when he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And that's what we all have our own moment with God, where we all go through, where we all have been through. No one knows the cost of your oil. And that's why sometimes you got to say, when someone says, can I borrow it? No. Can I have a little bit of it? No. Because they don't know the cost of your oil. Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, I have to say it. Mother Rita, we thank you. And it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, family. Keep Mother Valerie and her family, Sister Carolyn, keep them in your prayers as they go through, as we go through, because she was my auntie too. We go through. We are living in celebration. We will not, if you see our tears, it's not tears of sadness. It's tears of joy, because we know that Mother Rita is with the Lord, because we know that this earthly body is nothing but a shell, and that we all will lose it one day. But we pray that we will have the love of God in our hearts, that we will be absent from this body and in the presence of the Most Holy, Holy, our Sovereign Father, who loves us more than words can express. Hallelujah. And he has never and will never forsake us or leave us. He's always there. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Mother Valerie, Evangelist Shannon, what is it?
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Have a blessed day, family. Thank you, Evangelist Shannon, for that mighty word of God. Thank you, Mother Valerie, for your time, for your love, for just being an awesome mama. I just love you to pieces, and I thank God for you. And I thank God for the adoption into your family. Have a great day, family. It's up. We love y'all, Rita.